days in here for Sunday school. So, Nate, can you pass these out? Should have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Should be enough. Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14, we're in this morning, going through the study of the book of Revelation, things to come. I think it's been very interesting, some things that when you study through the book of Revelation and you just look at history and you look at things unfolding in the world today, just with AI and technology and stuff, you really see things advancing, not just through technology, but just advancing towards the end of the age. And again, it's exciting to know that the Lord is going to return, the trump is going to sound, the Christ will rise first, and those which are alive and remain at his coming will be caught up in the air to be with the Lord forever. And Revelation, again, like I said, sometimes people wonder, why even study the book of Revelation if we're not going to be here? The rapture is going to happen before the Antichrist is revealed, before the one world economic system, before the one world religion. Because it's in the Bible, right? And all scripture is given by inspiration of God, right? From Genesis to Revelation, we are to be studying and reading God's word. And you know what? Messages that are recorded and on the internet will be around during the tribulation, at least at the beginning. So you think about people that are searching for the answer. Why did millions of people disappear? What's going on? And people seeking the truth, coming across messages about the end times and realizing, I think, coupled with the 144,000 Jewish evangelists preaching their message during that time, Gentiles, Jews getting saved alike during the tribulation. Again, people are going to be searching for the truth because not everyone is going to fall in line with the Antichrist, right? Some people are going to realize, something's not right, something's off. They're hearing this message being preached by these Jewish evangelists, and I'm glad people are going to get saved. There are some people that teach and preach that God is done with Israel, that the church has replaced God's people, the Jews, which is a bold-faced lie, right? And then there are also those that preach that nobody gets saved during the tribulation because the church isn't here, no one's preaching the gospel. But when you read the book of Revelation, the book of Revelation contradicts what man says because there is a gospel that is preached. It's not the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, as we'll see this morning, but it is a gospel that people have to believe, all right, in order to be saved. Now, in Revelation chapter 14, all right, Revelation chapter 14, let's read the entire chapter. I doubt we will not go through the entire chapter, but let's read the entire chapter. For the last 2 weeks, we looked at chapter 13, looking at the Antichrist, looking at the false prophet. And now in chapter 14, John says, "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion." All right, lamb, capital L, should be a capital L in your Bible, a reference to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Chapter 13 mentioned a lamb, but what was the difference with the lamb in chapter 13? Do you remember? The lamb in chapter 13 had two horns, which depicted, obviously, a world religion, all right? The false prophet, and his time is not an everlasting time, but it's a shortened time. It's for a time, all right? And even the false church that's going to be the one world religion, the Roman Catholic Church, as the Bible clearly shows us, only lasts for a certain time because the Antichrist uses it, all right, for his own gain, all right, to have everybody worship him because the false prophet will lead the entire world in worshiping the image of the beast that's made alive, all right? But even the false religion, the false prophet, they're destroyed by the Antichrist, and we'll see that in some upcoming chapters. Just remember, the devil is not the friend of anybody. Even those who commit wickedness, he's not the friend. He uses them, right? Judas Iscariot, he was a man of sin. Then he turned to be the son of perdition when Satan entered into him. And Jesus said, go and do thou quickly what thou doest. And after Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver, and Judas Iscariot sees that he is condemned to death, he felt sorry, but he did not repent of his wickedness. He went and hung himself. He committed suicide. And that is the end of a life that the devil uses. Right? Jesus said, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil uses anything and anybody for his purpose, but then after that, destroys them. Okay? Now, I'm glad for the grace of God. I'm glad for the power of Jesus Christ and people who are steeped in witchcraft and sorcery and wickedness. They can be redeemed. They can be washed by the blood of the Lamb. They can become new creatures in Christ. But it's completely different during the tribulation because the church has been raptured out, the Holy Spirit has been removed, and God ordains 144 Jewish evangelists to preach a message. All right? It's not the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ because people rejected that. All right? People rejected Jesus, they receive the Antichrist, so there's a different message that is preached that must be believed on by faith. All right, so chapter 14, and I looked and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. Just let's stop right here. Chapter 13. Those that follow the Antichrist, what's in their foreheads or in their right hand? The name or the number of the beast. The name or the number of the beast. God puts his name in the forehead of his evangelists, these 144,000, all right? And I believe also those that will put their faith and trust in God and Jesus Christ, all right? Because again, the coming Messiah. Right now, Israel as a whole rejected Christ. They're still looking for the Messiah. They still believe once the third temple is rebuilt, then the Messiah will show up. But what does Revelation tell us? When the third temple is rebuilt during the days of the Antichrist and the seven-year tribulation, the first 3.5 years is peace, the temple is rebuilt. The Jewish people go back to sacrificing, animal sacrifices and everything. Everything seems fine, hunky-dory, right? Until at the 3.5 year mark when the Antichrist decides, you know what? I want to be worshipped as God. And he goes into the temple, sits down and demands to be worshipped as God and claims himself to be God. Again, Lucifer, the devil, the serpent, right? The Antichrist, because that's what he wants. He wants worship. He wants the worship that belongs to God, his creator, right? That's all he's ever wanted. That's all he tries to get is God's glory and God's worship, all right? Now, but just saying, remember, the devil imitates everything that God does. That's why it's important. Let me just remind us again. That's why it's important to study Revelation, to read it, okay? I don't think you have to be a Bible scholar, just a Bible student, student of the Bible, because it will help us to, you know what, not just go along with the world's program as a lot of people have done. Again, we've talked about how preachers in the day preached against the Social Security number because it was a number given to each person. And they preached again it as it was the forerunner as for the mark of the beast, a number, all right? And even, you know, just all kinds of different things have been preached against, all right? But you don't hear many people preaching against things today, you know, AI, right? The chip, the microchip that people are currently getting in their hands, right? We talked about that, different companies, around the world that, you know what, employees say, hey, yeah, give me the chip, you know, because people want simplicity, all right? People don't want a wallet full of credit cards, and they don't want, you know, a pocket full of keys, right? So this generation, you know, whatever, Generation X, Generation Z, whatever generation we're in now, right? We're in the last days. But you realize that the reason why so many people are going to accept the mark of the beast is because they have been and are being programmed to believe that, you know what? Life needs to be simpler. So let's, you know, take away everything that, you know, you depend upon, and let's just, you know, have a mark in your hand or, you know, in your forehead to where, hey, you don't have to use keys, you don't have to use credit cards. You know, I do like, you know, not having to use a credit card sometimes. You order something online, right? You ever heard of PayPal or Apple Pay, you know, I don't really need to pull out my credit card, right? But it really, it's all programming people just to accept what's coming, all right? Now, we do have to be wise in certain things. Again, we talked about COVID and how that really just was a test run to see, will people fall in line and just do what they're told? Put your mask on, right? Can't go here, can't do this. And even today, I again saw yesterday, many people wearing masks, and they've already said the masks don't work. But people have been programmed just to keep their mask on. So everything that's going on in the world is just all pointing to what's coming, all right? It's pointing to what's coming. Again, I'm glad we're not here for that. The Bible clearly teaches that we'll be raptured out, the church will be raptured out, because the Antichrist cannot be revealed until the Holy Spirit is removed, all right? So continue reading on, verse number 2. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to God, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. We'll stop right there. Again, when you think about chapter 14, chapter 13, revealed the Antichrist, the false prophet. Again, we're kind of in that parenthetical phase of Revelation. This is not chronological order. It's kind of like, oh, here's something to think about. Here's something to, you know, to look at. So as we looked at the Antichrist and who he is the devil, and how, you know, that one horn that's going to be, you know, killed but then somehow resurrected, all right? All of that, again, just imitating what God did and what Christ has done, all right? Because let me just back up and just think about this. How can one man deceive an entire world, and how can one religious leader get all religions, everybody who's religious, to fall in line and worship this beast? How can you get Jews to worship the beast? How can you get Muslims to worship this beast, right? I mean, there's so many different religions in the world. Not every religion preaches on Jesus Christ or believes in Jesus Christ. So how can you get everybody to believe in this beast? Other than when you read in Revelation 13, he's killed. And then seemingly, it doesn't say, but I would assume the devil imitating Christ 3 days later, he's resurrected somehow. So, and then the false prophet leads the entire world in worshiping the beast. Hey, let's make an image. And all throughout history, man has made an image to himself. Nebuchadnezzar's image being one of the most famous ones in the Bible, right? And if you didn't bow down and worship it, right, you were killed, all right? So again, I mean, this one world religious leader has to be able to get everybody to come under his umbrella. Well, what's one religion in the world that wants everybody under their umbrella? It's the Roman Catholic Church. They're all about, hey, let's just all come back together. I mean, supposedly, you know, all the different religions came out from Catholicism anyway, is what they say, but not the Baptists. We're not Protestant. All right. And think about this too. Maybe you haven't thought about this. You know, maybe you might be thinking, you know, well, why does pastor and other preachers and Bible believers think it's the Roman Catholic Church? Remember, the Antichrist has political power and the religious leader has religious power. Guess what one religion has been dominant in politics and religion? The Roman Catholic Church. I find it amazing that no prayer in school, no Bible in school, no Ten Commandments in the courthouses. We don't even want you speaking the name of Jesus at graduation ceremonies. Valedictorian, don't say Jesus. But everybody is okay with the Pope. Everybody's okay with the Catholic Church being involved in politics, but when you try to hand somebody a tract as me and my friend did, pastor friend years ago in Madison, this lady was going door to door putting her literature on the doors, and we, you know, we're putting our literature, our tracts on the doors, and we proceeded to hand her one, and she looked, oh, separation church and state. She was going around, she was a Democrat going around putting up literature, but as soon as she wouldn't take ours, she wanted us to take hers. But wait a minute, separation church and state, but then they're okay with, you know, having lunch with the Pope. I mean, how many of our presidents have gone and had meetings, secret meetings with the Pope and stuff? I'm just saying that they reject the truth, so God's going to turn them over to receive a lie. Strong delusion to receive a lie. And, you know, again, those that have to go through the tribulation, I feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for those that reject the truth and will have to go through the tribulation because it's not going to be a fun time, all right? At the same time, we can rejoice if you're saved and born again that you are not going through the tribulation. But when you read this, just remember the devil has been at it for a very long time. God's going to give him his moment, if I can say his moment of glory, what he's been wanting, to sit in God's place, which he's not going to sit in God's place, but he'll be, you know, in the temple. He'll be seated in the temple, demanding to be worshipped, right? And if you don't take his mark, then you're going to be killed, right? And those that do take the mark are still going to be killed because they'll face the judgment of God. So, it's important that as God's people, we're reminded the devil's a loser. The devil's been a loser from the beginning. The moment that he rejected his position that God gave him was the moment he became a loser. Now, many people, again, think that, you know, he's a winner, and you know what? They follow him into the battle of Armageddon. I mean, it's again, I find it amazing that And we get all to this in a little bit, but just as I think about it, he's cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Then he's loosed again. And he's still able to drum up a military to follow him against Christ, because that's the wickedness of man's heart. That's the wickedness of man's heart. But again, I'm glad for the grace of God. Now, when you think about all of this, all right, Isaiah chapter 14, there are your notes. Again, like I said, Satan is always imitating God because he wants to be like God. And Isaiah 14 reminds us, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." That is what is in Lucifer's heart. He wants to take God's place, but he can't. He can't physically take God's place, but he does it on this earth. And he uses people to just continue to elevate him, to continue to progress his program, what he wants. But notice that, again, he says that in the sides of the north, all right, "I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." You realize, again, Jerusalem sits on a mount, all right? The temple mount, where the temple is going to be, he's going to sit there, all right? So to go up to Jerusalem, you literally start going up. Now, something I found interesting as I was kind of studying this and looking at some different things yesterday was, you ever wondered what's the purpose of the pyramids? Well, it's a big deal with pyramids. People are fascinated. I mean, it's kind of a, you know, just an odd thing, right? And you might know some history of it, but did you know that they found pyramids on Mars? Now, I don't know if was ever life on Mars. I'm just saying that they have found pyramid-shaped structures on Mars. Have you noticed that recently they're talking more and more about UFOs and stuff, and they just even had these hearings? Because, you know, the government's been covering up, you know, these UFOs and stuff. It's all satanic. It's the devil. It's his fallen angels, right? There's no aliens out there. There's no life beyond this earth. No human life. Again, how can you convince an entire race to follow an antichrist, to follow one guy and one religion? Everybody's fascinated with UFOs and aliens, all right? So some alien shows up and says, "Hey, I've got the answer to all your problems." I'm just saying, it's things to think about. But, you know, again, pyramids. The pyramids were built to serve as temples to the gods and also to entomb the pharaohs. All right, the ancient Egyptians believed that after death, the pharaohs would travel to afterlife. They believed they could take their possessions with them, so the rulers would be buried inside the pyramids with their items that they intended to take with them into the next life. I mean, you just think about the pyramids. You think about, okay, the shape of a pyramid points in what direction? North. All right. When every believer on this planet is raptured out, what direction are we going? South? East? West? North, right? Straight up, north. What about people in Australia? I mean, I can kind of see us. I mean, we're kind of on the side of the globe, but, you know, we go up. But what about those in Australia? It's just food for thought, but there are those that believe that the universe is in the shape of a triangle. Now, it's kind of unproven. It's kind of interesting because if the devil wants to be like God and he wants to sit on the mount of the congregation on the sides of the north, God's at the top, right? The Tower of Babel. What was the shape of the Tower of Babel? And we would give an answer based on pictures we've seen. But what was the purpose of the Tower of Babel? To reach heaven. It was a religion. And who was the head of that religion? If you remember his name, Nimrod. That's why sometimes we call, what a Nimrod. Sometimes we call people that because it's like, are you dumb? Because Nimrod thought that he could reach heaven and build this, but was he dumb? Dumber than God. I mean, he's not, wiser than God, but think about at his time, he was the one world political leader. He was the one world religion leader because everybody worshiped him. So I'm just saying that things don't just happen by accident. There's a purpose behind. Again, the pharaohs were worshipped as gods, right? They had their different gods they worshipped, but then the people worshipped the pharaohs as they were gods, okay? So to me, it kind of seems like, again, the devil being behind it, giving them this idea, hey, let's build this pyramid, build this monument, this structure in this shape. Again, it points north. Who wants to be worshipped? When somebody is worshiping Baal in the Bible, who are they worshiping? They're worshiping the devil. When they're worshiping Molech, when they're sacrificing their children to the fire in Molech, they're worshiping the devil. Right? He has many different names in this world, but it's still the same devil. It's still the same serpent. It's still Lucifer, okay? I don't care what name you give it. All right. But again, just kind of thinking about that, reminding us that, the devil has his system. He has his religion. And it's going to come to head in the tribulation. But let's remind ourselves who's the chief cornerstone? Because on the pyramid, that very top section is called a cornerstone or capstone. I was going to try not to get on the rabbit trails today, but think about this. Thinking about pyramids and different things, what's on the back side of your dollar bill? Pyramid. But the pyramid is incomplete on your dollar bill. That's all I have, Crystal. I'll have a look. Oh, actually, I got a couple. Aha. Rich. Anyway, so, I mean, I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but look, I mean, it's a pyramid. And there's two reasons for the pyramid being on your dollar bill. But anyway, when you look at it, the top of the pyramid, that capstone, that cornerstone is not attached, right? Now, it's supposed to, and there's an eye in between it, all right? And I don't know what you want to call it, glory shining around it or whatever. Now, it's supposed to be, what they say is the eye represents God's all-seeing eye, God's providence, all right? But when you count the steps on the pyramid, there are 13 steps. Which they say, well, that's supposed to symbolize the 13 colonies, the original 13 colonies, right? But number 13 is what? That's evil. That's wicked, right? Some people can say whatever they want. Well, that represents the 13 original colonies, 13 original states, stuff like that. But then you notice the Latin words around it. There's Latin words around that pyramid. And those Latin words read the beginning of a new world order. The beginning of a new world order, and I believe it was what? I forget the year, 1782? Anyway, when the dollar bill first came out, Abraham Lincoln was president, and this wasn't on the dollar bill. This came later. Now, again, people say, well, you know, that's talking about, you know, God's providence, you know, the new world starting over, or the new world when the pilgrims came here and they discovered a new world and all of that. All right. But when you just, when you kind of think about things, again, who's the deceiver? Who's a liar? Who's a murderer? The devil. What's his goal? His goal is not to make your life happy. It's not to make your life successful. Though many who follow the devil seem to be happy and successful because they seem to have everything they want. But when you think about what's going on in Revelation in the end times, again, God giving us kind of a picture here. Revelation 13 showed us the lamb with two horns, the false prophet. But in 14, the real lamb is revealed to us, right? And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. All right? Jesus Christ being the true Lamb of God, but so many people are deceived by false religions because a lot of people, they want it their way. Play Burger King, have it your way, however you want it, you know, obey your thirst, right? But Jesus came to give life and to give it more abundantly, and he's given, he revealed all of this to John for our edification, so that we would have some wisdom on what is to come, so we can kind of see some pictures and types of things that are happening, all right? And he's just reminding us that the devil is called the little g god of this world, all right? And even we saw in the last chapter where the devil is, he's cast down. He fights against Michael and his angels, right? But they're cast out of heaven, the devil and his angels. But again, when I think about this cornerstone, this capstone, again, when you think about the pyramids, the sole purpose behind the pyramids is demonic worship. It's demonic worship, worshiping the pharaohs, and the pharaohs believing that, you know what, they're going to go to an afterlife, and they're going to continue ruling in the afterlife. Well, they did go to an afterlife. They're burning in hell right now, okay? But think about this in Psalm 48, verse 1 and 2, in regards to Mount Zion. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. All right. Ephesians 2, verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Antichrist, obviously, is an imitation of the real Christ. All right? Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, or verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Again, you and I know that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, but the devil wants that place. All right, and he has since the Garden of Eden, led people into following him and worshiping him, right? Again, that's why God had to destroy man with the flood, because man's heart was just, the imagination of his heart was just wicked continually, all right? in Revelation chapter 14, who are these 144,000 that are mentioned? Now, when we were back in chapter 7, we kind of looked at chapter 14 and we looked at the book of Matthew, all right, in relation to who are these 144,000 that are mentioned. Well, number one, they are not Jehovah Witnesses, all right? Jehovah Witnesses had to change their doctrine. I forget, I think it was in the 30s or something. They had to change their doctrine because they first were teaching that they were the 144,000. But then, I think it was in the 30s, they had, a couple million now in their religion, and they had to change their doctrine because, who's the 144,000, right? Aren't you glad that the Bible is the best commentary of itself? Look at chapter 7. I know we already looked at this, but let's look at it again because it's mentioned in chapter 14, these 144,000. So let's remind ourselves who these are. And they're special. They're special to Jesus. They're special to him because, as chapter 14 tells us, they follow him everywhere he goes. All right? So chapter 7. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." Chapter 14, what did it say? In verse 1, having his father's name written in their foreheads. All right? Verse 4, and I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Go on, and it mentions 12,000 from each of the tribes, all right, which would equal 144,000, all right? So chapter 14 is just mentioning these 144,000, as we already looked at them, Jewish evangelists. They're given the ministry to go out and preach the kingdom of God, not the gospel of Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, because in the tribulation, as we'll look at, hopefully, I don't think we'll get to today, but there's a different dispensation in the great tribulation, those 7 years. It's no longer preaching the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ because he was rejected. There's an antichrist on the scene who was killed and seemingly rose again, and everybody's worshiping him. So if you were to preach the death, burial, and resurrection, isn't he it? Because he died, he rose again. Okay. And again, chapter 14 will even tell us what the gospel is that's being preached, all right? But these 144,000 are Jews, and they're given the ministry to go and preach. Gentiles and Jews alike will be saved during the tribulation. But again, who are these 144,000? Because in chapter 14, it says that they follow the Lamb everywhere he goes, and that they're the first fruits. Well, we know Jesus is the first fruit from the dead, the first one to be resurrected, all right? And we looked at the possibility of who these 144,000 could be, because when you look at the description, look at, if you're not there, look at back at 14, Revelation chapter 14, and notice the description that's given of these men, these Jewish men, all right? Look down at verse 4. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, no deceit. For they are without fault before the throne of God. They have a pretty awesome testimony. You realize that right now, if you were to go over to Israel and ask a Jew, what tribe are you from? They wouldn't know. I'm not sure. The Bible says there's 144,000 from every tribe. And they have this testimony, they're virgins. You're hard-pressed to find a virgin. Because the kids, I'm not going to explain that. The adults understand that, right? To find 144,000 virgins? Never been with a woman? There's no guile in their mouth. They've never spoken a wrong word. And they have no fault before the throne of God. But they were redeemed from among men, from the earth. But their testimony is different than our testimony. We were washed by the blood of the Lamb. My faith is in the sacrifice of the cross of Calvary. When you look at Matthew chapter 2, again, not being dogmatic about it, but it sure does make sense when you try to figure out who the 144,000 are that, man, have this awesome testimony before God and the Lamb. They follow him whithersoever, and they were the first fruits. When you look at Matthew chapter 2, verse 16 through 18, we looked at this back when we were in chapter 7, but looking at it again to remind us who these 144,000 Jewish men possibly could be that God uses. Because again, let me remind us, is anything too hard for God? What is it that God cannot do? If he raised Jesus from the dead, what is it that he cannot do? In Matthew chapter 2, verse 16 through 18, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. It is possible that the 144,000, based on their description and based on being the first fruits and they're with the Lamb whithersoever he goeth, they have their own song that no one else can sing, because the redeemed, we have a song that no one else can sing, and we get to that. But these 144,000, they have their own song that they get to sing that no one else knows. But just the fact they're virgins, there's no guile in their mouth, and they are faultless before the throne of God. Well, so am I when I stand before the, you know, before the judgment seat of Christ. I'm not going to be, you know, condemned, because, you know, I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. But understand, these 144,000, according to the description, seems like they never sinned. Seems like they, you know, they never ever did anything against God. Never said anything against God. So what happens to innocent children when they die? Where do they go? They go to heaven. But guess what? There are no children in heaven, because there's a perfect age. Heaven's not full of old men, middle-aged men, teenagers, toddlers, and infants. It's believed that we'll be the age of Christ when Christ died. Regardless of what age, there are no children. Children go to heaven, but we get a new body. Okay? So these 144,000 very well could be these children who were killed when Christ was born. and they are the first fruits of him. Right, again, trying to compare scripture with scripture, all right? Could I be wrong? Yeah. You know, so I'm not going to say, you know, oh, it is, 144,000, that's them. But one thing is for certain, the Bible does say, who are the 144,000? What nationality are they? Jews. All right, they are Jews, and God uses them in a great way during that time, during the time of Jacob's trouble that is fastly approaching. All right, now, very quickly, let's look at the description here. All right, so it says that they have their father's name on their foreheads. Well, that's what chapter 7 said as well. They have the seal of God's name in their forehead. All right, they are redeemed from the earth. They are the first fruits unto the Lamb. They have no defilement with women. All right, they are virgins. They follow the Lamb everywhere he goes. No deceit in their mouth, no fault before God. God uses them in a great way, and they have their own special song that they get to sing. All right, very quickly look at, we'll recap this next week as well, but just look at verse 6, all right? John sees the 144,000 worshiping the Lamb and God in heaven. Chapter 7, they were on the earth, right? Ministering, doing their ministry. Now in chapter 14, we see them in heaven, all right? Worshiping God, singing their song to glorify their Savior. In verse 6, John sees another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. All right? So John sees an angel flying who has an everlasting gospel. Most people's first thought would be, well, yeah, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The shed blood of Jesus Christ. But notice what the angel is saying, though, in verse 7. Saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains and waters. His message is fear God and worship him. Again, during the time of the Antichrist, people are worshiping the Antichrist. But there's a message being preached that they are to worship God, who created everything. Who created everything. Say with a loud voice, fear God. Fear God. It is a different dispensation. If you're familiar, throughout your Bible, you see different dispensations, different ways. Like I say, there's different ways that God saved people. In the time of Noah, what did you have to do to be saved from the wrath of God that he was going to bring through the flood? What did you have to do? He gave a way of escape. What did you have to do? Build your own boat? Or get into the ark that was prepared? Right, God got one man who preached righteousness the whole 120 years. But it's sad, only 8 souls were saved. 120 years of preparing for the wrath of God to come, and only 8 people would get into that ark. You think about the Abraham covenant. You think about just even in Moses' time, all right? With the commandments, with the different dietary laws, with the worship, the different sacrifices and stuff. I'll put it this way. It's always been faith, all right? Faith in what God said, but there were some works to it. Faith for the Jews, yeah, faith that, you know what? I am bringing a lamb for the priest to sacrifice on my behalf. So during the, you know, I'll say Old Testament, but during the time of Moses and his, and when God gave him the law and all of that, it was faith, but doing what God said. Why did Ruth leave the land of Moab to go with her mother-in-law Naomi? Why did she leave her heritage, the false gods she grew up worshiping, because she said, where your God is, I want to be. Your God will be my God. I want to be with God's people. She, by faith, left what she grew up with to go follow Jehovah. All right? See, when you think about it, time's sake, I can't really get into it. Maybe I'll get into it next week, but throughout the Bible, there's different dispensations. It's always been faith, but in the Old Testament, it was faith plus works because God demanded sacrifice. But when Jesus came on the scene, Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament. And we're in the age of grace. It's faith in his finished work. It's faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, plus nothing, right? Minus nothing. It's just faith in Jesus. And we got plenty of scriptures to look at next week, all right? Ephesians 2, chapter 8, chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, all right? But then, in the tribulation, in the last 7 years, the great tribulation, the message is fear God and don't take the mark of the beast. Look down, if you would, at verse number 10, or verse number 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here's the patience of the saints. Saints, those that are saved during the tribulation, here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. But you'll notice it's faith, yes, but it's mixed with works. Don't take the mark of the beast. And guess what? If someone takes the mark of the beast, they're really not saved. They're not a Christian. Because what does it say the end result is of everybody that receives the mark of the beast in their forehead or in their right hand? Condemnation, indignation, right? The wrath of God. You are doomed, right? So it's not like someone's going to be in the tribulation. Oh, I believe in Jesus, but you know what? I got to provide for my family, so give me the mark. No, that proves you're not saved. It proves. Right now we're told, you know, don't judge. Can't judge me. I'm saved. Just because I'm drinking alcohol, doing drugs, and watching pornography, I'm saved. But during this time, you're not saved if you take that mark. So it is a different dispensation during the tribulation. Because you have to fear God, keep his commandments, and don't take the mark of the beast. Holy Spirit's been removed. Right now we have the Holy Spirit that helps us to do what's right, reminds us, you know, of the sacrifice of Christ, that he died for me, so I should live my life for him. I should glorify him in the life that's been redeemed, but, man, during the tribulation, they have to endure what they're facing. Now, God gives them the ability to endure, and that's why it says, here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. I mean, they're believing, okay, he's not the Christ. We're believing in the one that's coming to save us because of the message that we're hearing, all right? And I believe that God, with the 144,000 are sealed, I believe that God puts a special seal on those that are saved during the tribulation, all right? Because then you have those that receive the mark of the beast and they're doomed. You understand why it's important that in the age that we're in, this age of grace, that we don't just accept every person that names the name of Christ and every religion? All religions are not the same. Even if they have Christianity the name of Christianity, you know, mixed in with their religion. All religions are not the same, right? Because we're in the age of grace. Anyone that believes on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ can be saved, right? Sealed by the Holy Spirit. But in the tribulation, they're sealed with God's mark, God's name, all right? So again, when you think about just, you know, again, people are fascinated with, you know, pyramids and all kinds of stuff. But just when you think about what is coming, that's why it's important. You know what? We're still raising children. That's why it's important that we teach our children the truth that we're still raising. So that, you know what? For some reason, some of our children aren't saved when the rapture happens and they're left behind. That they remember the things that they were taught, the things they heard from the Bible, and oh, you know, and they seek God, they seek the answer. All right? Because, listen, there are going to be people left behind that attend church, even Baptist churches. Not everybody in a Baptist church is saved. You know, you know, I'm not into the Left Behind movies and stuff, but I remember seeing one scene years ago where, you know, there's a church service. Maybe it wasn't even that. Maybe it was somebody had something online, and in the they reenacted the rapture happening, and people were left behind, including the man that was preaching. It was like, whoa, I'm glad I don't have to worry about that. And I have confidence. It's not pride. It's confidence. I know I'm not going to be left behind. But when that moment happens, people that are left in church, they're going to be crying out for God. Like, oh, no, I totally messed that up, right? That's one thing that we can't, no one really needs to mess up. All right, we mess up enough in life, but let's not mess up. You know what? I'm saved on my way to heaven, all right? Because I don't want to have to be... I don't want to have to go through any part of the tribulation. Again, if you're saved, you're not going to go through any part of the tribulation. And that's something to rejoice about. That's something to be happy about. But also something to pray about that, you know what? Those that are left behind, that heard the truth but never acted upon it, Lord, would you help them at that time to realize they need you? They need to cry out to you and not believe in the Antichrist and stuff? All right. Let's have a word of prayer. And then there's some juice and some pastry stuff out there. The plan was I was going to stop 10 minutes before so you guys could have some time out there, but it never happens, right? But anyway, so I'll give you at least 30 seconds, all right? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you again just for the truth of your word, and thank you for just your word truly being a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We do thank you that we can study it. And Father, it really should. It should encourage us that we're not here for the awful time that's going to be upon this earth. At the same time, Lord, we should be grieved for those that will be left here, but Lord, praying for them, praying that people will get saved now and people will quickly get saved, quickly believe the message that they're hearing during those 7 years. I thank you, Father, that you're still a God of grace. Even though you pour out your wrath, you still give people an opportunity to be saved because you're not willing that any should perish. Father, I ask that you would continue to guide our time this morning, continue to draw our hearts unto you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, give you about 10 minutes.